Well, you know, it's interesting how that the political scene is just getting more and more interesting. And you have, it seems like every week another liberal says, I'm going to run for president. And you know what? Go right ahead. One of the things that I pray, do you remember the story of Israel and Jehoshaphat and how that the armies were coming against Israel and they just didn't think they had a chance? They were told to praise the Lord and cast the care of it, and I'm paraphrasing, cast the care of it over onto the Lord, and if they would, he would intervene. Well, he did. And the Bible says at the moment that Israel began to sing praises, that the Lord set ambushments against the camp of the enemy, and the enemy turned against itself. And Israel won without breaking a sweat. Unless, of course, it was hot that day that they were marching toward the battle. That has been one of the things that I pray. Father, may ambushments be released into the camp of the enemy, the camp of the liberals. And I use liberals more than I do Democrat, because there are liberals who call themselves Republican. Father, may they turn against themselves. May they devastate themselves. May there be bickering and strife. That is how I speak. That is how I confess, because I know it can happen. And it's already happening. It has begun. I've noticed here over the last few weeks that liberals are starting to turn on each other and come against each other, even in the media. And I think, glory to God, this is wonderful. And I'm going to continue to confess that way and continue to pray that way. And I'm going to control my emotions when it comes to the absolute ignorance of so many Christians who, no matter what they hear, are choosing to remain clueless when it comes to what's happening in this country. Now, I know the book of Revelation is going to happen. But I also know this. There are a lot of things that we as Christians can do that can impact. Now, we are not going to change the will of people. And like I shared before, neither is God. However, God did not force the enemies of Israel to pick up swords and kill each other. However, here's one way I perceive it. They were so given over to evil that when his glory showed up, it was just confusion. Absolute confusion. And so they began fighting against each other. See, when the glory of God, remember what happened when Jesus showed up? There's a devil. Jesus shows up. What have we to do with thee, Son of God? We know who you are. That happened more than once. And it wasn't that he was addressing the devil. He was just there. Same thing's true for today. We need to continue to declare not simply, victory, but discord, confusion within the camp of the liberals. And that things will happen in this nation that will be undeniable when it comes to who gets the credit. Good things happening. And that's very possible too. But see, one of the things that has got to change is the way that we talk about whatever is going on. Our confession makes a difference. And I get, people say, I'm sick and tired. Okay, well, I'm not going to say that. But I just, I get tired of hearing Christians just talking about, they're speaking defeat to this nation. You know what? If that's how you want to be, that's up to you. But I'm going to go down fighting. And the sword of the word is going to be coming out of my mouth. And I am going to be speaking in line with the will of God. Now, if you hear, you watching, whatever, listening, I mean, if that's not you, you want to keep playing the part. I mean, you want to keep worshiping the golden calf of a fallen society, then you just go right ahead. Just keep talking your way. But I'm not. And you'll be held accountable for it, and I will be blessed for what I do. Because, see, again, too many Christians flat out do not understand the power of what they say. You cannot change the will of another human, but you can create an atmosphere. I'll call it an atmosphere of awareness, to where they're aware. Doesn't mean they're going to choose the right thing, but they'll know. Even the lost, they will know. Remember Hezekiah? Wasn't he the king that kind of got full of himself and ended up out there in the field living like an animal? His hair grew, his nails grew, and he ate grass. And then finally the Bible says he came to himself. Doesn't say anything about anybody casting a devil out of him. He came to himself. And when he did, he wrote part of the Bible. It's in there. It's in Daniel. Go in there and read it. Hezekiah wrote part of the book of Daniel. And he wrote in there how that God is the true God and he's the one and so on and so forth. Man, that's incredible. He went from pagan to believer. Well, you know what? You've got a lot of people out there eating the grass of deception and sin. And we can continue to confess, and some of them, they may come to their senses. But because I know the book of Revelation is going to happen, that tells me they're not all going to come to their senses. I know that. But still, I'll do my part. Go ahead and turn over to 3 John. When God said in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, he could have said it like this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if you want to see just how powerful your tongue is, read the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Just read it. Because the moment we get born again, God's life has been imparted to us. We now have that the life of God joining or coupling with, if you will, our dominion and our authority over the work of his hands. And that's one of the reasons why what we speak is so critically important. Jesus was our living, breathing example. He understood the power of words more than any Christian that's ever lived. You know, what do you want? My sight. Receive it. And we think, oh my goodness, you know, wow, what a miracle. Well, it was a miracle, but not to Jesus. Not to him. Because remember the previous message on confession and how I was sharing with you aspects about quantum physics? See, and I'm not going to reteach that, just listen to it, but that whole aspect of quantum physics, you know, science tells us, you know, the little particles and the electromagnetic fields and how things are held in place, blah, blah, blah. But yet science can't tell us how it started. They know how a lot of it works, but they can't tell you how it started. I can, and I did on Sunday night. Genesis chapter 1. It's right there. You know, and as I mentioned Sunday night, you know, the whole thing about the Big Bang. You know, okay, well, where did the stuff come from that banged? You know, where did it originate? Where did it come? Well, I don't know, really don't know. Well, it's always been there. Oh, really? So now you do believe in eternal existence. Well, no, not really, but they don't know. And never, never, and I do mean never, Has there ever been an explosion that produced perfect harmony? It's never happened. You know, just if you don't believe me, just get a whole bunch of stuff. I don't care. Just a great big honking pile of stuff. And put a few sticks of dynamite in the middle. Light it and gablammo. Just see if you end up with a new car. It's not going to happen. It's chaos. In fact, you can take things that are in perfect order, you know, the way the world describes it, and put perfect order things together, and then light your fuse and blammo. Guess what? Disorder. But the Big Bang, it created a system that produced order and life. Most explosions kill, but not this one. And so you have people that, you know, bless their hearts, they believe it. And yet the answer is right here in Scripture. Listen, all you have to do is spend a little time studying the Word of God, and you can sound really smart when you teach some of this. And it's just not that difficult. But God spoke, and the particles moved. They were energized. You know, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, they were energized. They were set in motion. And God continued to talk, and they rearranged. He's sitting there on his throne, and he says, "Let the waters bring forth the fish and the birds." He just sat there. Just sat there. And guess what? Molecules started rearranging. And you had birds. You had fish. Things happened because he spoke. As he is, so are we in this world. And what we speak has an impact not just on the natural things, but also in the realm of the spirit. Didn't Jesus speak to devils and they left? Yeah. See, what we don't understand, well, no, what many Christians don't understand, what some understand partly, but it's our confession has an impact on the way things operate in the world. See, Jesus spoke. Remember I taught here a little while back about when Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves and the storm? He didn't speak to a demon. He spoke to the wind and the waves. And he said, "Peace, be still." The wind and the waves settled down. What he was actually doing was speaking to the energy that had set the air molecules in motion, causing the waves to begin to move. And when he said, "Peace, be still," what he was doing was exercising the power of his words against the energy moving the air molecules. And the power of his words nullified the power of the energy moving the air molecules. Now see, you start talking like that, and people think, "Well, you're weird." Okay, then what do you think happened? Well, the wind and the wave stopped. Okay, well, what caused them to be in motion? Well, I don't know. I do. It was the energy, and I taught that. Anyway, the power of our words, okay? Water got turned into wine. Now, there's a lot in Scripture that is not recorded. I mean, I think you kind of have figured that out. You can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and each one of those books are describing roughly 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, but you can read all four of those books in one day. So, you see, a lot has been left out, a lot of minute detail, if you will. So Jesus, he set the example for us. And yet we struggle, it seems, to accept the fact that what comes out of our mouth makes a difference in our lives. You know, I heard a preacher one time here a few years back was teaching about prosperity, and he was telling people, you know, they needed to confess, you know, "Money come, money come, money come." Now, there was a lot, he was let's just say he was associated with a lot of preachers who teach things about prosperity that just aren't right. And he received from some folks criticism about that whole thing, you know, speaking, you know, money come. Yet at the same time, there was a basic truth to that. Now, when you say, make that kind of confession, it doesn't mean you're going to open your front door and there are going to be stacks of $100 bills, okay? However, the money's out there. And it's going to go somewhere. So why not come to this ministry or to you? As long as you use it for kingdom purposes. This is one of the reasons why when I'm praying, one of the things that I confess, you know, God, I thank you that you're continuing to minister to people and organizations around the world, that the favor of this ministry is in their hearts and minds, and that, you know, they're sending in money. I thank you that you're ministering to millionaires and billionaires, favor on behalf of this ministry, and they're sending money in. Now, some people would say, well, that's just crazy. I'm not trying to alter the will of those people. What I'm saying is, God, release your favor on behalf of this ministry to people I don't even know. I might read about them in the news, but I don't even know them. And liberal or extremely conservative, either way. I mean, money itself doesn't care. It's not conservative. It's not liberal. It's just something that you use. See, I know this works, and I know it works more than what I used to, and I'm continuing to understand more about how it works. And the thing is, we have to come to the place of understanding, okay, what do you want in this life? Do you want a healed body? Do you want better circumstances? You know, a different house? I mean, what do you want? And I'm not talking about confessing craziness. I'm talking about confessing sanity. Does that make sense? Confessing things that make sense. Not the whacked out stuff that a lot of people get involved with. Look here, in 3 John chapter 1, John, now this was the Apostle John, he writes in verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I want you to prosper and be in health. Two things people want in life. They want to be healthy and they want money. Because if you're, now speaking in worldly terms, if you're healthy and you have money, you can do just about anything you want. If you're healthy, then you can buy a five-story house that has steps. Because you're healthy. You can go up and down the steps. I mean, you don't want to, and that's just, I don't think anybody would really want that. You know, if you got the kind of money, just put it in an elevator. The point I'm making is, if you're healthy and you've got the money, then there's a lot you can do. All right, he says, folks, I want you to prosper and I want you to be in health. However, he adds something here, even as thy soul prospereth. Okay? Well, my soul can't have money. How does my soul prosper? Through transformation. My soul prospers, let me say it like this, my soul prospers by going from unbelief to belief. Okay? Now, he says, I want you to prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So, looking at it like this, from this perspective, my prosperity and my health are directly proportionate to the prosperity of my soul. If my soul is prospering in belief relative to the Word of God, then you know what's going to happen? My soul is going to declare God's will concerning health, and call it blessings, call it prosperity, whatever you want to call it. I will speak that. That is what I will declare. And I will be so sensitive to it that if I start to say something that does not line up with the Word of God, I will catch myself. And I'll back up. I'll catch myself before I finish my sentence. I'll catch myself before I finish the word. And I will back up. Now, I'm not talking about joking and, you know, that's, I'm not talking about that at all. You know, some people get real legalistic about this. Well, God's not legalistic in that way. However, and you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. There have been times, you know, you get around somebody and they'll say something. They know they shouldn't have said that. And then they try to act like they were just joking. And you know in here, now you weren't joking. I mean, that's what's living in you. That's what's in you. There is, there's a trash heap of unbelief in your soul. And you're speaking out of that, and you're calling things that are as though they're worse. Oh, I'm telling you what, that shoulder of mine, I don't think it's ever going to be well. Okay, fine. The whole church will gather around you, we'll dump a bucket of oil on your head, and we'll shandai, and all. But you know what? That's not going to help you one bit, because even if a healing starts to manifest. I heard a story one time about a lady. She was having some problems. She'd been in a wheelchair. Now, I don't know what the diagnosis was, but she'd been in a wheelchair for a long time. And a preacher went and was ministering and so forth, teaching on healing. And he was ministering to her, and she starts standing up. Now, she hadn't gotten out of that wheelchair on her own in I don't know how long. And she starts standing up, and when she gets up, she's standing there, and she looks and she says, "I can't believe it." And boom, she went right back down in the chair. Her legs gave out. Now, that sounds funny. That happened. She was healed, but she spoke herself back into that wheelchair. So again, one of the things that I brought up many times here in this little series, what do you want? What do you want? The world's, when you start confessing in line with God's word, the world's going to tell you you're weird. And a lot of Christians will too. See, we put up with a whole lot of junk in our bodies that we don't have to. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with going to doctors, okay? Nothing wrong with that at all. However, if you go to a doctor, whatever the doctor says, you know, I mean, you've gone to the doctor. But you don't stop declaring the word of God over you. You don't stop confessing. Sometimes going to the doctor can be an emotional relief, all right? But whatever, you keep declaring the word of God. Turn over to Luke chapter 6. See, this is so critical and so important. You know, one of the examples, and we're not going to turn to it tonight, but you know, when Lazarus, he was sick, and he actually died. And Jesus, he didn't go minister to him until he'd been dead like 4 days. And then he says, "All right, well, let's go." And then the disciples, you know, they're trying to make sense of it all. And Jesus, you know, he said, "Well, Lazarus sleeps." "Oh, well, Jesus, you know, don't bug him. Don't wake him up. If he sleeps, you know, that's good for you. When you're not feeling good, sleep is good for you." And finally, Jesus, he just had to tell him. He said, "Lazarus is dead." If he wanted to say that, he would have said that at the beginning. But he didn't. And you know, in that passage, it talks about Jesus wept. Well, why do you think he wept? It's because his buddy Lazarus is dead and buried behind. No, that wasn't why he wept. He marveled at their unbelief. "Oh, Jesus, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. I am the resurrection and the life." I know, Jesus. He's going to raise again on the final day. Finally, Jesus, he couldn't take it anymore. And he begins weeping. Why? Because no matter what those folks said, they really did not believe the word the way they should have. So what do you mean, the word? In the beginning was the word. The word was made God. The word was flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was the embodiment of the word. Roll away the stone. What? But Jesus, he stinks by now. They're all upset because he's dead, and then they fuss because Jesus is trying to raise him from the dead. I think the writer of John, I think he left, you know, a verse out where Jesus turned and said to those people, "Tell me, what dost thou want? A dead Lazarus or a live Lazarus?" Now, I know that's not in there. And, you know, we read that story and we can, you know, chuckle at it. But, guys, the same kind of stuff goes on. Oh, would you please pray for me because it, you know, it hurts. Okay, pray, pray, pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you'd think if you came up for prayer that when you walk away from the prayer, you'd be in agreement with what was prayed. You'd think. But when you walk away and you keep confessing the very thing you wanted relief from, why should the prayer work? What we have here is failure to communicate. If you've seen Cool Hand Luke, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We have dueling confessions. Now, God says one thing and Christians say the other. And when I pray for you, I'm going to say one thing. But too often, the people I pray for, they walk away and I hear them saying the opposite. So we have dueling confessions. You know which confession's going to work? You know which one's going to win? Yours. Why is that? Did I tell you to turn to Luke chapter 6? Good for me. In Luke chapter 6, look at this. Verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh, and death and life are in the power of the tongue. There it is. Your confession makes the difference. You can override every good thing that I speak over you by virtue of what you say about you. Why? Because what you say is coming out of your heart. And you're the master of your own life. Oh no, Brother Martin, Jesus is my master. No, Jesus is not your master unless you yield to him. And when you have Christians walking around and what they speak is, this car will never be right. This house will never be right. These kids will never be right. My leg will never be right. I'm never going to hear right again. We'll never have the money for this. We'll never have the money for that. When that is what you speak, you're going to have turmoil. Because, see, you're the master of your life, and no matter what Jesus tries to do for you, if you are completely nullifying what he's doing, trying to do, by virtue of your confession, then you can end up questioning God. Why isn't God doing anything? You've just said that God isn't doing anything. Okay, now based on the Word of God, where do you find that God just sits around and doesn't do anything? You build a wall between you and him with what you say. Is your body right now, wherever you are, here, listening, watching, whatever, is your body doing something you don't like? Is it in rebellion? Then get bad with yourself. I mean, listen, one of the things that, here's something that you can say. Okay, let's say that you're battling, you know, the famous Gitche Gumee syndrome. It doesn't exist, but I just make things up, okay? That's just one of the joys of my life, is to make things up. So anyway, I create my own words. Someday I'm going to write my own dictionary. Anyway, Gitche Gumee syndrome, in the name of Jesus, my body is not your temple. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Gitche Gumee syndrome, you do not have permission to take up residence in my body. Gitche Gumee syndrome, you are an illegal alien. And you do not get permission to stay. You have to leave. I'm in charge here. Because God has given me the authority of the work over his hands, and this body goes back to Adam, goes back to the molecules. I have authority. Get out of my body. And Gitche Gumee says, no. And so you just keep going at it. I said, get out. And it says, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And you just keep telling it, no, in the name of Jesus. By Jesus' stripes, my body was healed, not made sick. God sent his word and healed me. And I'm the one who speaks the word. Get out of my body. Go. You're not permitted to be here. Talk to it. Declare, what do you want? What do you want? You know, here in Luke chapter 6, you know, a good tree brings forth good fruit, not corrupt fruit. So what kind of fruit are you bringing forth? You know, a man's, over there in Proverbs 18:20, a man's belly is filled by the fruit of his lips. So what kind of a tree are you? What kind of a, I mean, really, it says in prophecy, using illustration, that we've been made trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. We're supposed to be bringing forth good fruit. However, we corrupt ourselves by virtue of what we say. And, you know, God's not given us, God is not the author of confusion. He's given to us what? You know, a sound mind. He's given to us a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. Sound mind, all right? Sound mind. That's what he's given to us. We have the mind of Christ. We have that is what we have. But when we begin speaking opposite of the point of origin for the sound mind, then what we're doing is we're introducing confusion in our own life. And we become a house divided. We're introducing conflict on the inside of us because we're speaking something that is opposed to the life of God within. Jesus says, look, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, all you have to do is be around Christians and listen. Just listen. And you'll find out what have they treasured in their heart. You're going to know. And again, hey, we've all played the game of church speak. You know, when we show up at church, you know, we're trying to be sure we say the right things. And we think we're fooling everybody. And we're not. And then when church is over, it's like, I was good today. I said all the right things. But I'll tell you what, I'm just sick and tired of and on we go. Now, what I'm not saying, some people would say, well, you know, you just tell us to bury our heads in the sand and ignore things. No. No, come on, I'm not saying that at all. We identify what needs to be changed, and then we speak the change. That's not ignoring anything. What it means is we're approaching it from a whole different perspective. But in general, the body of Christ does not get this. Look over in Mark 11. Mark 11. Hey, you know, this is the story of Jesus. He sees the fig tree, no figs. So he says, you know, he curses it. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And then the next day, you know, Peter, he looks over and he sees the fig tree dried up from the roots. And he says, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed, it's withered away. You know, therefore, verse 21, it withered away. And Jesus says, have faith in God. Or a better rendering would be, have the faith of God in operation in your life. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Do you think Jesus was just, you know, saying something so he could get another verse in the Bible? No. He's trying to impress upon us that we can change things. But if our soul isn't prospering unto good fruit, then what happens is out of the abundance of the heart is what we declare. So what we have to do then is change this. We have to see to it that our soul is prospering. And one of the ways we do that, you know, over there in Mark chapter 4, Jesus said the sower sows the word. And then he says, you know, here are the ones where, you know, the word is sown, it goes into a good heart, and, you know, they do something with it. And then they produce 30, 60, 100-fold. Well, that's what we can do. But we have to come to the place of believing this. Now, when you sow the word, you're sowing truth. Which means, well, Jesus said, you know, my words are spirit, they're life, they're truth, you know, sanctify them through thy word is truth. I mean, all these things are in Scripture. Now, when we sow the word, we're sowing truth. And it's critical that it be sown in us. Well, how is it sown in us? Well, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. All right, there's the word. I'm sowing it, but I'm sowing it in me as I'm speaking it to whatever condition has attacked my body. See, you can't confess what you don't know. Otherwise, I mean, if people don't know that, if they just don't understand God sent his word and healed, and that by Jesus' stripes we were healed, if Christians don't know this, well, what else are they going to say? Oh, it hurts really bad. I'm so sick. Oh, this just isn't going to go away. This may be the death of me yet. You ever heard people say that? That's goofy. What a dumb thing to say. Well, as long as I'm in your will, go ahead. Get a move on. Let's go. I mean, these things are weird. And it shouldn't be said. And some people, there are some phrases, now again, I'm talking Christians, some phrases, it's just like the thing they say. Like, you know, the death of me yet. Well, you know, you keep speaking that. What do you expect? You're going to have problems. You're speaking turmoil into your life. When you begin to find out what's in the Word of God, and you begin to find out His promises, and you begin to speak those promises, the more that you do that, think of it like this. Here we have the scales of the heart. And well, there's not just a whole lot of word in there. So the word of God, you know, it's not there. But all the other junk is there. Well, what we need to do is get more truth in there so that it's greater than all the other junk. You see what I'm saying? Now, Jesus talked about that when he said you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Then eventually, like the mustard seed, your faith is going to grow and be bigger than everything else, because the mustard seed grows and becomes bigger than anything else in the garden. Well, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So what happens is, we keep putting the word in. We confess, and at first, it seems like, you know, I don't know why I'm doing this, you know, but Pastor said, and okay, we got these verses in the Bible, but I'm speaking this stuff, and I got to be honest, I don't feel anything. I don't feel like it's doing anything. Okay, based on what? Based on what you perceive with your senses, not what is recorded in Scripture. And so what happens is, you know, people are diligent to confess for a day or two or three or maybe a week or whatever, and they don't see anything that they think they ought to see, and so they quit. They give up. I want you to listen to a prophecy from December 23rd, 2007. The Lord said, just as Mary received my word and carried my word in her for 9 months before giving birth to my son, when you receive my son, my word, You become a carrier of what that word contains. For just as I sowed into Mary my word to bring forth my son, when you accept my son as your Savior, I sow into you life and life more abundantly. I sow into you all that my son represents. When you receive my word of healing, that word is sown into you. You become a carrier of that healing. You become a carrier of deliverance. You become a carrier of everything that my word says. You become pregnant with my promises. But you must carry my promises to term. Too many of my children have aborted my word by stopping their prayers, their confessions, their worship, and their fasting before giving birth to the promises that I've given to them. But I say unto you, if you will continue to nurture that which has been sown on the inside of you, the day is coming when you will give birth, as it were, to your healing. You will give birth to your deliverance. You will give birth in the natural to those things which have been sown into you in the Spirit. Look to Mary as an example of what I can do in your life. The more of my word that you allow to be sown in you is the more of my word you carry. In that natural sense, you become very pregnant with all that I have to offer. If you continue, the day will come. You will go through a birthing process. In the natural, you will behold everything that I have said belongs to you. So look to my word, not only as that which you are to sow into your spirit, but look to my word as the example to follow. I am God. What I have said will come to pass for everyone who believes. It's there. And so what we have to do then, as we confess, we keep confessing, by his stripes I was healed, by his stripes I was healed, but it still hurts and it's still this and it's still that, by his stripes I was healed, by his stripes, Jesus, you sent your word, Father God, healed me, and body, you're healed, and I mean, we go through it, we keep going through it, we keep going through it, keep going through it. And you know what's going to happen if, turn over to Galatians chapter 6. I'll show you what's going to happen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, we shall give birth, if we faint not, if we don't stop. So what happens is, we begin to confess, and at first we feel like we're just wasting our time, that it's mindless, that it doesn't make any sense, that I'm wasting my time, I don't feel anything, etc., etc., etc. But, you know, pastor said, so we keep doing it, we keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on doing it. And what's happening is we are confessing and speaking the life of God, which is compatible with the life of God in our born-again spirit. And the day is going to come when suddenly the light is going to go off on the inside and we're going to realize this isn't just a waste of my time. No, this is a thing that's happening to me. There is a work going on in my body when I speak this. There's something happening. And that's called belief. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. And that kind of hope is not a boy, maybe somehow, some way, someday. No, it is that word hope is the anticipation of that which is real being fully manifested. It's a different kind of hope than what the world offers. And so I keep confessing. And then the day comes to where I realize, bless God, this is right. Gitchigumi syndrome has no authority in me. I may be getting older. And the body, it's deteriorating because of Genesis chapter 3. But the deterioration does not have to include Gitchigumi syndrome. I mean, no. And then what happens is we just keep confessing and keep confessing, and now it's almost like our confessions when we make them, when we speak them, it's almost like we can feel life coming out of our mouths. Now, I'm not saying we have a physical sensation, but there's this comprehension, this reality that, okay, this is working. This is working. You know, I don't see it today, but this is working. And that becomes encouraging because now we're more in agreement with God than the condition. And this is why it's so important that we not grow weary in the well-doing, that we keep it up, we keep doing it, we keep doing it. And I'm not saying, you know, every moment of every day has to be the confession, but throughout your day. It doesn't take long to just say, you know what, elbow, you're healed. I don't care what you think. I'm in charge here, and I'm telling you that by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Elbow, you're healed. God sent his word and healed you. God's word is alive on the inside of me, and I'm speaking life to you, elbow. You're healed. Now, just in case you're wondering, I'm not having any elbow problems, but even if I were, that was just a live illustration of what to do. But along with that, I mean, it's not just about healing. It is about every aspect of our lives. It's about everything we do, our jobs, our finances, our home life. It's everything. And it also is about our church. You know, what are you speaking about this church? What is your confession over this church? For some people over the years, let me just say it like this. The confession may have been, I don't see anything happening at this church. I don't think anything's going to happen at this church. I'm not seeing anything take place. I think pastor is just hoping for the best. Or variations on that theme. See, a lot of people want to bail if things aren't happening the way that they think they should happen. What is your confession? Those of you watching, those of you listening, and you listen to sermons here, but there's another church that is your home church. What are you saying about your home church? What are your confessions about your home church, about the leadership, about the staff? What are you saying? What is your confession? Do you realize that if your confession does not line up with what God wants for a church, you are in opposition to Almighty God? Well, yeah, but there are things going on. There may be things going on. Whatever church you go to, there may be things going on. But are you speaking what God would speak over the church? Are you doing that? If not, then why not? I mean, if you're that upset with what's going on at whatever church, you know, you go to, are you sure you were in the right church? See, look. Church growth, meaning, you know, how many people attend the church, that's not the proof that the church is doing the right thing. In fact, quite frankly, the day and hour in which we live with all the goofy stuff that's going on out there in the world, sometimes a really big church, this wrong stuff is going on in that church. The wrong teaching, the wrong doctrine. The more that we sow the word in us, is the more it begins dominating our tree, if you will. And the more aware we become of what we're saying, and more aware of how it impacts us. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. If you want to speak, you know, here's the thing. As the pastor of the church, see, God honors authority. My confession over this church carries more weight than yours because God honors leadership. He honors authority. Now, that doesn't mean that yours doesn't have an impact, all right? I need you joining with me confessing the word and the will of God over this ministry. But when it comes to your body and your finances and your family and your job and your car and your dog, your cat, and whatever else, I mean, you have a greater level of authority in that than what I do. When we are confessing in line with the Word of God, there will be results. Maybe not exactly the way that we envision them, but there will be results. And, you know, getting back to the healing thing, you've got to change what you say. If you want to see something happen, if you want to see a healing manifest, you've got to speak the healing. It doesn't mean that you can't go to a doctor. It doesn't mean that you can't take the medicine or use the salve or whatever it would be. But when you're doing that, speak to it. Keep speaking your healing. Father, I thank you for everything the doctor's doing. And Father, I thank you. I'm not going to be taking this medicine the rest of my life. I won't be using this cream the rest of my life. I won't have to use this brace the rest of my life. I'm using it for the time being. But I'm healed. I'm healed. Body, I know you hear me. You can't help it. You're stuck with me. I'm healed. Body, you hear me? You're healed. You're healed. Everything about us, our finances, everything, everything. Speak what lines up with the Word of God. Be sure your soul is prospering. And you will see victory. That is a promise from God. Praise the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for this. I thank you for your word. And I'm asking you that you, as your word says, you know, set a guard on our mouths. And Father, work on us that we become increasingly, continually sensitive to what we are about to say before we say it. And that we will speak that which lines up with your word concerning every aspect of our lives. Even if other people around us don't believe it, don't want to hear it, whatever, well then, Father, we'll say it when we're alone. But your word works. You sent it and it won't return void. It will accomplish what you sent it to accomplish. So by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. That is your word. I thank you for this, Father. I thank you. And I thank you that our lives are going to be different because of this. So, Father, just keep working on us concerning our confession. And may we continually sow the word and bear the fruit of your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.